Both the Tathra and southwestern Victoria fires have been declared natural disasters, allowing for a range of financial payments and counselling to help victims. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, visited the Tathra region yesterday to see the devastation. He was joined by the local federal MP, Mike Kelly, who joins us now from neighbouring Bega. Mr Kelly, good morning. Thanks for joining the program. What were your first impressions?
Yeah, look, it's really been one of those situations where a mix of relief and grief, because we didn't lose any lives yesterday, and that's really a huge tribute to the community itself, which really rallied and looked after each other. They got around, you know, door to door, driving around, making sure people got the warnings and got out. And so we're really blessed that we didn't have any loss of life, but last night was really, you know, heavy duty grief, because that was where people were being advised specifically, you know, who had lost properties, and you know, so it all started hitting home last night, and we've got a big job to do in the days ahead to, you know, just look after, wrap ourselves around this community. It's really hurting now, and you know, the follow through is going to be important.
No lives were lost. Is that just good luck or good management?
Look, it was this community, you know, and this is a really special community. It's a very, very tight-knit community. And, you know, so often they've looked out for other people. They really have a tremendous social conscience, this group, and now it's our turn to turn around and look after them. But, you know, just seeing the wider Bega Valley community also reaching out was very special. You know, the Red Cross, Anglicare, Woolies crew, everyone chipped in, and I think that was a really big factor in helping those people feel, you know, that they weren't alone, and that's a really critical factor in those kinds of situations.
As you've said, it's a very small coastal town. It has a big influx of visitors at Easter and summer each year. The number of homes lost, how big an impact will that have on the community?
Oh, it's gutting, you know, because even if you didn't lose a home, you know, it was your neighbour or your close friend. And so there'd been, you know, 69 properties totally destroyed, but the other 39 that are damaged, it's still to be assessed of whether, you know, they're going to be salvageable. And but, you know, we're really blessed with incredibly courageous helicopter pilots who were, you know, really braving some incredibly dangerous, difficult conditions during the height of that threat to the township, with, you know, the gusting severe winds, blowing embers forward of the fire line, taking out, you know, houses, they did a tremendous job. Everybody commented to me about that. So a really big shout out to the heroism of those helicopter pilots, because through all of this, 380 homes were saved, and some really iconic, historic landmarks for that community too were saved. The very historic Tathra Wharf, the beautiful old wooden wharf, could so easily have been lost. And, you know, my great-great-great-grandfather built that wharf, so it was a bit of a personal interest for me, but you know, it's those kind of iconic things will make it easier for the community to re-establish itself, you know, we need to get behind them now. The mayor has set up a recovery fund, and I really encourage people to be as generous as they can in helping this community.
Some residents say that the local council wasn't focused on hazard reduction. What have you been told about that?
Oh, look, there'll be time to do all the lessons learned out of this afterwards. You know, I know hazard reduction's practiced right across this vast region of mine, and it's a heavily forested region. You know, we've been through some massive fire and disaster challenges like this before. The 2003 fires were devastating. So, you know, we draw as much as we can out of that. The conditions, though, for this fire were unique. You know, it was a really bizarre and erratic weather conditions, extreme heat, gusting winds, and the embers being transported long distances beyond the fire line, changing direction of the fire. So, you know, I'm not sure what else could have been done to deal with that sort of situation, frankly. But right now, the focus has got to be on the community. You know, we've got a community that's hurting right now, and they need our help, our support, our love, and making sure that we're following through on the concern that's being shown today.
That speed of the fire and the erratic nature, the town is also a notorious mobile phone black spot. Have residents told you that that was a problem on the weekend?
Of course, with mobile phone towers, they need power as well, and so power did get lost and we were in contact with Telstra, and they were looking at getting a generator up there to see if that was just a power issue. But towers can also be damaged by fire as well. So if there is any concern about the tower in general, then Telstra are looking at bringing in cells on wheels type facilities to try and get communications back up quickly. But yeah, look, you know, communications is a really big deal. There was a real problem early on in that that situation. We'll have a look at the lessons learned from that and how that might be remedied. But frankly, in the circumstances, it was, you know, obviously unique and very big challenge for that kind of warning system to operate properly.
And if I could just ask, what do you make of the Greens linking this particular fire and the Darwin cyclone to inaction on climate change?
Look, you know, if there's any community that's up for a discussion on climate change, it's the Carthra community, or the birthplace in our region of the Clean Energy for Eternity movement. But that's for later. This community now are just, you know, going through that terrible emotional rollercoaster ride. You know, the initial phases of the, you know, the sensory overload, shock and adrenaline, are now giving way to the emotional reality of what they've been told last night in the briefings at 6:30, and they're not going to be able to get back out to their homes until at least Wednesday afternoon now because of that asbestos issue that you heard reference to, just to make sure that the situation is safe. So, you know, the nights, you know, have been a nightmare, and you know, we have to focus on them right now. This is about people first and foremost, and then we'll have this discussion about broader issues later on.
Mike Kelly, the local federal member for Eden Monaro, thank you for joining AM this morning.
No worries, so we're just encourage people to be generous and give to the Mayor's Fund.